Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that teaches you the art of professional wrestling. I am one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and actually today I'm one third of your scholarly presenters. This has been a crazy, crazy week in wrestling, and I know you haven't heard from us yet about it, but that is about to change. Tonight, you are going to hear a firsthand account of AEW Dynamite, the first weekly show that is professional wrestling based, that is not WWE, to be on cable since 2001. Our other scholarly presenter, Tyler, and a new voice to the podcast, Sarah, were both at the show, and what you're about to hear is their very raw, pun intended, reactions to AEW Dynamite from being right there, from being so close to being able to touch Kenny Omega until he then like walked away and went backstage. But they were there, they were live, and they're going to tell you all of their feelings about it. And for everything else that's happened in this crazy week of wrestling, Friday Night SmackDown, NXT's counter programming, and everything that happened with Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell, you're going to hear all of our thoughts about that in a second episode this week, which is going to drop Wednesday morning. So that's right. For the biggest week in wrestling, you're getting two episodes of Much Ado About Wrestling. So look for that one on Wednesday. But right now, I'm going to let Tyler and Sarah take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Silence your cell phones. For you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, a very special episode of Much Ado About Wrestling. It is currently 12:10 in the morning. This is the post AEW Dynamite reactions that we have. I am one half of your very tired co-host, Tyler Ward, and with me for the first time is the incredible ticket purchasing apple of my eye, the wonderful Sarah. Sarah, how are you?
Hello. Hello.
So again, we are very tired. We, just basically got back from AEW Dynamite, the very first episode of AEW Dynamite. What did you think, Sarah?
It was very, very exciting. It was very, very fun. This is only like my third wrestling show ever. Yes, third one ever. And it's my favorite one so far, so that's pretty good.
Yes, yes, definitely. And she, I mean, it was a very good show. She only cried twice that we know of.
Both in the same match.
Both in the same match, involving her two favorite people on the planet, Cody and Brandi Rhodes. But yeah, it was really good. So we are just going to kind of give like some quick reactions here of like, you know, the environment, the kind of feeling that it was in the arena and everything. We'll run through the match card as well, give you guys some of the highlights. First thing, getting there... a pleasant surprise. We get there and I find out our seats are incredible. I had no idea. We were not opposite camera side, so we were like next to where the cameras were, but we were like first tier up. Like it was, we were maybe 40 feet from the ring. I could have spit on the ring. It was incredible. But yeah, the seats were really good. I loved the setup of the stage. It was basically the same setup, the same setup that they've been running for All Out and Double or Nothing, with the dual entrance ramps and then the kind of like chandelier-esque LED light system they have. What did you think about it?
Yeah, so I was surprised because I've never been to Capital One before, but the way that it was all set up, it was like everywhere was really, really, really good spot.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody could see everything. They had like plenty of TVs up so you could catch anything that was really close up. And then just like that with all the lights that they had, and the Dynamite is so colorful, so it's got you, it like feels like the the whole room is like lighting up and really, really bright and exciting, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very small, almost like intimate arena. And it felt like there were no bad seats in the mm-hmm. house, which is always a good thing. So I loved the design of the show already. It felt very much like the way that WWE films, and it's similar in how the hard cam is the same side. A lot of the positioning, they had the commentary desk up at the entrance ramp, which Raw like had for a while, and they've moved back and forth, WWE has, between having it down at ringside. So it was good. There was a lot of similarities to draw upon there, but it was really fun. So the show, before they went live at 8, actually kicked off some dark matches at 7:30 for the live crowd, which was fun. The first match was... Oh, man, what was...
I cannot remember.
I know. It felt like ages ago, but it was only a few hours ago. I think... So the first match was before TV... Oh man, I'm blanking here. This is gonna be weird.
I recognized them, so they weren't like.
Was it a tag team?
No.
Oh no, I'm sorry. The first match was Darby Allin.
Oh, that's
versus,
right.
Versus Shima.
Yeah.
Actually, a really good match for a quick little dark match. Like
it was
really
fast.
It was they gave them a little bit of time, but they also took their time. Like there were some really good spots. Darby Allin, man, that coffin drop he does, it always terrifies me because it's just like he puts the arms and like falls back, and oh man, he's had some really gnarly spots with that, like the the All Out one where he went through the Cracker Barrel was crazy. Oh my god, the one where he hit the apron when the Cody match. But
yeah, I whenever we've watched one of AEW shows and I've seen Darby Allin, I always get really panicky because he's like, he always does really, really intense and scary things. So when he came out, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was really good. I didn't feel stressed during it.
He's one of those guys who's very, like, shock value wrestling almost, where he's not a bad wrestler by any means, but he's not, like, the greatest wrestler in the ring. But he does things that make you just be like, oh, my God, this is incredible. It's like a car wreck. Like, I can't look away.
It's just, like, chaotic energy. I'm just waiting for something, like, crazy, bad, and scary to happen. But it doesn't usually happen. You just feel like it's about to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless he ollies, like, a skateboard with thumbtacks onto your back.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
But yeah, so that was a dark match. That was really fun. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a second one.
Did a countdown.
Yeah, that ended about 15 minutes beforehand. And so they were then like giving us the countdown, being like, hey, we're live in 10 minutes. Guys, we're live in 5 minutes, trying to get the crowd hyped up as you do at the live shows. I think for this being the first like episode of AEW Dynamite, it felt special. It felt like I've been saying this all week, and Sarah knows I'm annoying the crap out of her with it. It's like, this is historic. It's historical. And I think it felt like that in the arena, but honestly, I think not to the extent I guess I hoped. I think I might have built it up a little too much in my head.
As Tyler does.
As I do sometimes. But yeah, so I mean, it was a great environment, and it felt really good. I think it didn't match the hype that I was hoping for it, but that's irrelevant.
But it was still buzzing. Like, people were really, really excited. Every single person was wearing, like, an AEW shirt. Mm-hmm. People were talking about it. We sat next to some people who went to Vegas, all the way to Vegas for Double or Nothing. Mm-hmm. And then the people in front of us also did, and they turned around and they were talking about it. And one of them had bought a belt, and it was just, like...
Yeah, it felt... It was a really very... Cool. Of the wrestling shows that I've been to, it felt like one of the most friendly, I guess.
Yeah.
Very open and friendly, and there was a like a weird sense of camaraderie.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
People were just really excited. Like, you can tell, like, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, we're at like a show and that's exciting. It was just like something cool is happening right now, and it was like a very optimistic buzz. I don't know. Like, it was just people were ready to have fun and enjoy something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely felt that. So the show opened the opening match, the first ever match on...
Spoiler alert, this is where I cried.
On AEW Dynamite, yes, was Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. And the very... Cody Rhodes gets the opening entrance, where he did similar to his All Out entrance, where he like rose up from the center panel, which was super cool. But so Cody like rose up with Brandy accompanying him,
wearing the most amazing dress,
wearing this like angelic, she looked like a fucking angel. It was incredible.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. This was the first part where Sarah started crying. She saw the dress and she saw Brandy and she was just like, it's amazing.
I was truly overcome, like just like completely like wiping tears off my eyes, yelling. It was just wild. It was exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the first thing. They had a really great entrance. The crowd was super hype. Everyone was feeling it. Sammy Guevara came out, just got booed out of the building almost. he was gonna be the heel whether he wanted to or not. But they had a really good match. Yeah. I thought they had a really good match for the first match ever, and like setting a tone for this, not only the night but for the company going forward. I thought it was really good. They had like all of your traditional wrestling spots that you might need. They got some like ref distractions when Cody went for a suicide dive on the outside, and because he had thrown Sammy out there, and Brandy was like right next to Sammy, like, you know, kind of like talking him down as she does. And so Cody's like lining up for the suicide dive, and me being a wrestling fan, I saw it coming a mile away, and I'm like, no, Cody, don't do it.
And me being a new wrestling fan did not see it and was very concerned and upset immediately.
And so Cody goes for the dive, and Sammy being the heel pulls Brandy in the way, and Cody dives right onto Brandy and like knocks her down. And so I think this wasn't the second time Sarah started crying, but no, she was yet. Very distressed by it.
I was pretty upset.
She was not happy with it. But it was good. They had a really good match. Some really great spots, some good near falls when Cody hit that reverse suplex off the top. I almost definitely thought that was done for Sammy. Sammy Guevara hits the giant Spanish fly from the top rope. That was really good. But it was a great match. Cody picked up the win.
And that's when I started crying.
So he gets the win. And like Brandy comes into the ring and starts celebrating with him.
Everybody is just screaming.
Everyone's going wild. You can kind of see a little tear in Cody's eye. Like the camera was giving a nice zoom on his face. And then this was the point where Sarah began to cry again.
it's unfortunate. I'm a sympathetic crier. So when I see people cry, I just start crying. And I was just like, in that moment, I was Cody Rhodes in the first ever debut match. And I was like overcome with the emotion of winning the first ever AEW live match.
You had just defeated Sami Guevara and you felt it.
I really, truly did.
So that was great. And then... Jericho, that dastardly heel Jericho, came down for a pretty gratuitous beatdown of Cody. There was no blood or anything, but it went on for a while.
Yeah.
It felt like he like attacked him from behind and hit him with chairs and put him on the outside, hit him with the belt and everything. And I thought that was a really good way to kind of establish right from the get-go that Jericho is a bad guy.
Yeah.
I thought that's a great, because you have to think also like from the perspective of a lot of new eyes who are going to be on the show that's never happened before. People who maybe only casually watch wrestling, maybe have only like heard of WWE, all of this AEW stuff, and all of the superstars on AEW can be completely new to them. So they're gonna be like, well, who are these people? What do I need to know? And right out the gate, you know, Cody's the good guy. People like Cody.
That's his wife, Brandy. Jericho.
Jericho's the bad guy. Yeah. That's right there. Do you know everything you need to know about the main feud? So I thought that was good.
But where was MJF? He was should have come in and saved Cody. Cody's his man.
He should have. I think the MJF storyline with Cody, I think, is something that's going to be... They're slow playing the hell out of that. I think it's something that we're not going to get a good payoff to it for years, potentially. And it sucks in the waiting because you're like, oh, man, like this, that's all I want to see. But when it finally happens, it's going to be so worth it. So I think they, like, you know, hint and nudge as much as they possibly can about, like, MJF being Cody's friend, but MJF's, like, an asshole, and so he's going to turn on Cody one day. We just don't know when. So I think it's going to be a thing. But the good news is we saw MJF very soon, right after that. I think it might have been the match directly after.
I think so.
Was, I think so, it might have been. MJF had a match with Brandon Cutler. Mr. Dungeons and Dragons, apparently, is his new gimmick.
Which, a big fan.
Which, yeah, big fan. I knew that. Sarah is a huge fan of Dungeons and Dragons, as am myself. And when they released a picture of Brandon Cutler's new shirt, it's like a picture of a D20 with like a dragon around it. For those who don't play Dungeons and Dragons, the D20 is the dice. But so they released the shirt, and I sent the picture to Sarah, and I was like, how about this? Is this your new favorite wrestler?
And then when they did the promo, they said TPK, which is like Total Party Kill in D&D terms, and like, my inner geek just lost it. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, if that's not the name of one of his finishers, I don't even know.
Oh, it's
like,
gotta it has to be. That's a great finisher, too.
Right.
The TPK.
The TPK.
Total Party. Oh, that's perfect. I love this. I hope you're listening, AW. Take notes. But yeah, so next, Brandon Cutler had a match with MJF. And we said, this is the true...
It's pretty good.
...crux of it is that as much as Sarah loves D&D and Brandon Cutler, she loves MJF so much more. Do you want to tell them how much you love MJF and why?
I just do. I can't even really explain it. So first off, he doesn't want me to like him because, one, I love D&D, and he just wants to be hated. So,
and
like,
he's
in a
better
way,
than you.
Yeah.
And you know it.
Well, that's true. I don't know. He's, like, very entertaining. I'm obsessed with him because of the clip on where he was on Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, my God.
And, like, all I wanted in the moment when he came out was for everybody to start singing You Are My Sunshine at him.
Yes.
I would have, like... That would have been third cry for me right there if it had happened.
For those who don't know, the quick TLDR.
Look it up.
There's a MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, the person. He was on...
As like a five-year-old.
As like a five. When he was five, he was on an episode of the Rosie O'Donnell talk show because he like went viral for like singing like an operatic version of You Are My Sunshine. And, like, no joke, like, the five-year-old MJF is on the Rosie O'Donnell show singing You Are My Sunshine. And it's like, equally adorable and hilarious. And
he's, like, 5 years old, and he's like, I want to be your opera singer. And he's like, but I also want to be a wrestler. And it's, like, crazy, because he's actually a wrestler.
And he's actually a wrestler. I hope that, God, I wish they break out, like, an opera gimmick for him. That'd be incredible.
It's coming. But, long term.
Well, this is what I'm, because I feel like this video of him, like, the clip, it's not, like, super well known, but I feel like once it, like, really explodes, like, on the viral scene, like, I can't wait until, like, the next show, like, AEW show or something where he's wrestling, and the entire arena actually does start singing You Are My Sunshine. I feel like it's gonna happen one point, and I just hope I'm there for it. It's gonna be incredible.
Yeah,
because like what does he do in that situation? Like, he's just such a...
It's like his most shameful moment coming back to haunt him. And it's like he spends all his time just like trashing the wrestling fans and like pretending he's the best person ever. But like, what better payback is it that the audience gets to be like, we're better than you. You're an idiot kid singing You Are My Sunshine to Rosie O'Donnell. Like, come on.
Yeah, I love it. It was super good. But so... They had a very quick match, and I think there might have been a botch in the match. There's a point where MJF was down, and Brandon Cutler went to the top rope, and he was getting ready to do, like, a splash or something, and it looked like he kind of slipped a little bit and, like, fell forward into the ring onto his feet, but it looks like he might have tweaked one of his legs.
If it wasn't a botch, it was a really good sell.
It was. That's what I was thinking, because immediately, like, he grabs his leg, and, like, he's clearly selling the leg, and I was like, oh, maybe this is a work. But the reason that Sarah actually caught on this before I did, The reason why I don't think so now is because almost immediately after that happened, they went directly to the finish. MJF almost put him down immediately, put him into his armbar finisher, and then Cutler tapped out. So in retrospect, we're thinking that that might have been a legit injury, because the ref just immediately sent him to the finish and didn't want a chance. Didn't want to chance anything else. So hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's nothing serious. But yeah, so that was something that happened. It was a good match, though. MJF got a lot of heat. That was great.
I don't know how planned the whole D&D thing was, but, like, it was, like, it's genius. It works so well. And, like, when you have somebody who... I mean, I feel like MJF is actually just a huge freaking nerd deep down. Like, and he plays... He's so good at this, like, horrible guy. And it's just cool. I feel like I got so many people on board. And then now you have, like, a D&D wrestler, which is all that I've ever wanted.
I know, right?
So, like, we'll see. I don't know why it took so long. Like, it's amazing.
I think something that AEW is definitely going to excel at way better than WWE ever could is the capability of just being able to run... with things and like capitalize on like catching that, being able to catch that lightning in a bottle for when things are popular with fans. Like they have, when they have the ingenuity of like the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho, like essentially helping their entire roster do this, like it's endless. Jericho did the stupid little bit of bubbly thing, and like huge. Immediately had a t-shirt like the next day, and then that t-shirt like became the highest selling t-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees like ever or something like that, and like literally just because he said something silly and went on the internet and he was like, oh, the internet likes this, and then capitalized on it. And then the Bucks are notorious for doing that as well, and now like Brandon Cutler, like, And it's great because before this, the only thing I knew about Brandon Cutler, I was like, oh, he used to wrestle with the Bucks like back in the day, like when they were backyard wrestlers, and that was it. But now he's Brandon Cutler, the Dungeons and Dragons wrestler.
The Dungeon Master.
The Dungeon Master. Oh, how great is that? He's the Dungeon Master with his finisher, the deep TPK. Oh my God, this is brilliant. I love it. But so that was really good.
It was good.
And
then after that was they had a couple promos, I think.
So they had a few promos that were, it was weird because I'm so used to like WWE style promos and stuff. And these ones, they were clearly promos, but they didn't feel the same. They had a promo with SCU at the top of the ramp where they did their, you know, normal SCU shtick. And then the Lucha Bros came out and they got cut into kind of like a little beat down or something and separated by the refs, which actually I thought it was good. It felt a little weird. It just felt kind of like, oh, okay, that was a promo. And I think it was because like when the refs separated them and like they went their separate ways into the tunnels, like the arena started clapping. Almost like a scene in a play had finished.
Actually, that's a good way to put it.
It was like the scene finished and everyone was like, okay, good scene. You know what I mean?
It did feel like that a little bit.
It felt kind of weird, but I liked it.
And I do think part of that is just a little weird because we usually watch those promos when we're watching them on TV during something big. So it's kind of hard to watch them when you're in the audience, I guess, because we weren't like 5 feet away from a huge TV where you see it. Like, we feel like it's like up close and personal. We're like a little distance from it.
Yeah. I don't know. And WWE is notorious for doing like the backstage ones.
Yeah.
And AEW, maybe that'll be something they do later. But I mean, for this episode, there was nothing backstage. Everything happened either in the ring.
Well, not everything, but towards the very end.
Either in the ring or in front of the audience. But so that was really good. The next match was Hangman Adam Page versus the Bastard Puck. this is a really good match. We were pumped for it just to see Hangman do some cowboy shit, so that was really cool. And then Pac is just a bastard. What did you think of Pac?
I mean, my boy is Hangman Page, so I didn't want anything to do with Pac. I did have to go to the bathroom in the middle of this match, and I ran out, and I like came in towards the very, very end. I mean, he's freaky. I don't like that his hair hangs in front of his face. It really irritates me. Just get some bobby pins. Like,
no, yeah, because...
Tyler's like, that's the thing. And I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
She did not like Pac's hair, and she was just like, I don't like how it hangs in his face. And I just kept thinking, like, well, I mean, I think that's the point. I don't think he wants you to necessarily like him or something like that, but... No, yeah, it was a very good match. It's very entertaining. This both guys can really go in the ring. I think it felt weird at the start of the match, just that for some reason the arena it kind of hit a lull at that point.
Yeah,
the entire crowd felt like pseudo gassed at that point, and I don't necessarily know why. I don't think there was any like super exciting matches like right directly preceding it, but. Yeah. It was just kind of like a weird thing, and I think that's bound to happen with arenas. Yeah. But so I think the
energy went up like at the right moment. Like you'd have like a moment, and everybody would stand up and start screaming, but then people would sort of like the moment would end, and like there'd be like almost a lull overall, and so you just kind of feel the other people just want to also sit down, I guess, for a minute. I don't know.
I think so, and I think the performers could tell that too.
Yeah.
So Pac's shtick before the match,
forever.
He kept like rolling out of the ring, refusing to fight Hangman. And he did this, what to me felt like more times than normal.
Yeah.
Like I've seen that move 1,000 times that a heel would do that. But this time it just felt like more than a normal. And I think that was them like actively being like, oh, the crowd's feeling kind of lulled right now. Let's work them back into this.
Yeah.
And I mean, it worked. It got us involved and invested in it very quickly.
I also feel like it felt like forever for me because I really needed to go to the bathroom, and like I was like, I just want to see the first punch before I go to the bathroom. Like I don't want to miss that. It could be something really cool. And it was just like, okay, you need to start this fight now. Like I don't have time for you. And then I just ran out right after. Mm-hmm.
It was a really good match. They can definitely go in the ring. Pac is he's such a bastard.
I feel like there'll be a few more matches between them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They just match up really well. There's something about like both of their looks and the way that they fight that just works.
Yeah, I definitely think this is the beginning of a feud for them. But Pac picked up the win, hit the Black Arrow off the top rope, immediately put him in his submission hold, and then the Hangman either tapped out or passed out. But it was a really good match. I think so. Pac is now 2-0, so that's already put him pretty high in the rankings.
Yeah.
So we could definitely see Pac having an AEW title match sometime in the near future, even. Yeah. So that could be interesting. The match after that was
Rio and Nyla,
the crowning of the first ever AEW Women's Championship match.
It was very exciting.
So, my immediate gripe with this match is, and I felt the exact same way about All Out when they did the first world champion for the men. I wanted them to have a little more ceremony to it.
Yeah.
I wanted there to be more pomp and circumstance. I wanted them to be just more ceremony to it. I wanted them to, you know, have like announce it. I have like almost like even like a parade, if you want, like have all of the women's roster like come down. They don't have to be ringside or anything like that, but I don't know. I feel like it just needed more just a higher like platform that they were giving them, because honestly being at the arena, it felt very much not like an afterthought, but it and you hate saying this, because I mean traditionally in like WWE matches, and well historically in WWE stuff, when before they cared about women's wrestling, the women's match would be what people called the quote-unquote bathroom break match, where everyone would get up and go to the bathroom. And unfortunately for some reason, this match was still the bathroom break match, and it was the first ever women's championship match. And so I wanted there to be a little more ceremony to it. But
yeah, I don't know. I like when you get like the close up of the belt and you feel like people are really working for something, and there's something really like important and like it's like a big deal to these people to, I mean, it's a big deal to have the very first ever women's belt, you know, on the line for this match. And it just didn't have that same like beauty or like prestige around it, I guess. And I know that it was just the first one, so it's just the first show. Like, they're building everything now. Like, this is setting the foundation for what the whole season or year is going to be like. So it's like the first, it's like the pilot episode. Like, you want it to be exciting, but you can't have all your like big moments right now because you've got to have something for the rest of the people to watch the rest of it. And so I don't know.
I think you're absolutely right. That's a weird like mentality you need to go into, I think, for specifically something like this, is that we're not watching a pay-per-view. Like, this is just episode one of a new weekly thing we're gonna see. So, but
it was a good match though.
I was gonna say, kudos to them for what felt like in the arena and what kind of started as the bathroom break match.
Like, people were freaking out.
They pulled them in
and
had an amazing match. This was easily the best match I think Nyla Rose has ever had. But they definitely pulled them in. They had some amazing moments. It was really good match. What did you think about the faux three count, the two count that everyone got super upset about?
So like Tyler said, it was kind of like a bathroom match and people had kind of left, but like, I was as hype as all get out. Like, I was probably the most excited person in our section. And so every time something would happen, I would like jump up and I was clapping and I was yelling. And there was this one, like, almost three count. It was like so close to a three count. And I thought that Rio had just won.
I think the whole arena thought.
I jumped. My section just somehow knew it wasn't. I don't know. I was around like a lot of seasoned wrestling people. So they were all kind of like, they kind of like got it, I guess. But I'm still new, so I leapt up, I started screaming, I started cheering, I was clapping, I was like, go Rio! And then I see everybody still sitting around me and people start laughing, I was like, oh no! And then I just sat back down. But I mean, like, within like 15 seconds they had another spot and people were standing up and cheering, so it was just like a little moment. It was exciting.
Yeah,
I thought I got to experience somebody winning twice because I thought somebody had won.
You don't usually get that at shows. That's a interesting little thing.
Yeah. No, it was really, really good. And then, I mean, the moments after that, it wasn't like that was a big moment and then like the next big moment was the winning. There was still like three or four huge spots that people were like freaking out over.
Yep, there were some huge spots. Yeah. The Northern Light suplex that Rio did to Nyla Rose off the top rope. Good lord.
There was a moment for
being 100 pounds, that girl can go.
There was a moment where like I thought Rio was gonna submit. Like twice. There was two really good, like really big times that could have happened. I very much felt the roller coaster of like, we're about to win, we're gonna lose, we're gonna win, we're gonna lose. Although I really liked
welcome
both of them.
Being a wrestling fan.
I really wanted both. I really would have been really happy if either of them had won. I just like love Rio because she wrestled Kenny when she was a kid, and that's just so cool.
Which we got a throwback to that. After Riho wins the match, she gets the pin, gets the three count, new AEW Women's Champion. Nyla, being the heel that she is, started to beat down Rio.
Well, somebody came out. What was his name? A guy?
Well, I think... Nakazawa? Oh, no, that's right. You're right. Michael Nakazawa came out first.
And then...
I forgot about Nakazawa. Nakazawa comes out to kind of like crown... Present the title to Rio and crown her. And then Nyla Rose attacked them, and specifically Michael Nakazawa. I think she powerbombed
him. And then you see Kenny running down.
Well, so Nyla gets Rio up like in a fireman's carry on the apron, ready to hit her with something. Like, that's gonna be devastating. Might break Rio in half. And then Kenny runs down to the ring for the save.
And so, and, really like, quick, the first thing Tyler says, Tyler looks at me and he goes, "That's Kenny. Kenny's right there."
I was like kind of like vaguely paying attention. I was more like, it was like I had looked up and then like saw Nyla had Rio on her shoulders on the apron, and I was like, oh man, this is about to be bad. and all of a sudden I hear like the crowd getting really big, and I thought they were just like for the spot. But then all of a sudden I see Kenny Omega there, and like I start freaking out. I'm like, oh my, that's Kenny Omega. And Sarah was saying something to me. I can't remember what it was. She was trying to like say something to me, and I'm just completely ignoring. I'm just like, Kenny Omega, that's Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And she was like, did you hear me? And I was like, no, that's Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's right there.
That's exactly how it happened. But that was really, really cool just to mm-hmm. see him coming out. I was telling Tyler after the show, I feel like it sets us up for a really cool, like, just pairing or, like, relationship mm-hmm. for throughout. And it's nice because it's very mentor-mentee, but you don't see a lot of, like, men and women wrestling together. And if you do, it's almost always in, like, a romantic sense or, like, one is the supporting partner. And for this, it just seemed really, really cool because it's, like, this amazing, like, Kenny Omega, like, the cleaner, this amazing guy. And then, like, this little Rio girl who just beat somebody twice her size. And mm-hmm. it just, like, I'm ready for it.
Became a champion. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like, that's going to be a cool thing I think over a good amount of
time.
It's
a great pairing.
Yeah.
And it already, it sets them up for some really great
moments like, and just
future,
stories,
like,
yeah.
mixed gender matches, like Kenny and Riho versus Nyla and an opponent. But then I was thinking, like, who Nyla could pair up with. And I was like, Nyla and Moxley, like, that doesn't make any sense. But Sarah had the best idea in the world. Who did you think?
Well, in my mind, I was like, it only works if you have, like, people who are, like, actually against each other. And we know Rio can take on someone, like, the size of Nyla and, mm-hmm. like, still beat them, obviously. But I was like, what if we had, and then in my head, I just popped the tiniest wrestler I could think of, and I was just like, Marco Stunt. And then, like, you'd have, like, little, like, Marco and Rio against each other, and then Nyla and Kenny against each other. It would be entertaining.
This is a main event anywhere. I want to see this match so bad. I want to see, like, 100-pound Rio face off against even smaller Marco Stunt.
But I just think it'd be cool. I mean, when you have two people that are that small, you could do a lot of things that you can't do with somebody who's, like, the size of Pac or Hangman Page.
Absolutely. I just think it'd be a super interesting to see.
You could throw them,
I know,
like, across.
Nyla Rose and Marco Stunt versus Kenny Omega and Rio. I think it would be amazing.
It'd be good. And Nyla and Marco are both kind of different, so they kind of...
Yeah.
Like, there's something different about them that people really, really like, and mm-hmm. it'd just be interesting also to see them matched up, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, I don't know if AEW is going to be very big on mixed gender matches, just because Cody historically has said in interviews that he doesn't approve of mixed gender wrestling. He's just like an old fashioned person. He's like, I don't like it. The idea of like seeing a man strike a woman in a ring, much less on a televised product, is not something I'm for.
And I agree.
I get it. This,
you don't have to make it a thing, but you can have like one or two here and there and make it like, even just one or two here and there is a thing technically compared to the rest of it.
And it's the way you do it. Like, This has been a point of contention in professional wrestling for a long time. The idea of men and women wrestling each other, and like they do it on the indie shows a lot. Like some of the most incredible matches I've seen have been women against men.
Mm-hmm.
I recall like there was a great indie match I saw, Brian Cage versus Tessa Blanchard, which was amazing. They had a really good match. Candice LeRae versus Johnny Gargano was an incredible match.
Wasn't there like Io Shirai was with somebody? There was like a group of three girls against the guy. You showed me that match.
That was really in cool. Lucha Underground. Io and Kairi Sane, and they're like,
there was one other girl.
Their Yakuza faction against Pentagon Jr. It was like a handicap match. That was an incredible match. But the idea, like, it makes sense why they still don't want to. It's not smart.
I don't know if people are used to it yet. I don't know if like the rest of the world is ready for it either.
It's just not smart, like in this, specifically in this day and age, to have a man striking a woman, even in a fake predetermined setting like professional wrestling on national television. It's just not good. So that's a maybe.
But I mean, that
forward.
Being said, Cody did fly through the ropes and hit
Brandi.
That's
true.
That was an accident. It's different. But
yeah, it's like an accident. Like, and they can do bumps like that. Yeah. I think that's acceptable. But like, it's the point of what's the threshold of when it's too much or something like that.
It's just a delicate line to walk, and it's very easy to cross, and you can see them not wanting to.
The one that immediately comes to mind, and this is, it's, I don't recommend looking it up. Like, you probably will if you hear this, but I don't recommend looking it up. There's a match where Minoru Suzuki had a match with Asuka when they were still in Japan, and it's genuinely like hard to watch. They're both like performers, and of course, like, it's all there, everyone is okay with what's happening, but like, it's genuinely hard to watch how much he beats Asuka up. But so, like, that's like the worst end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm sure they would never do anything like that. But anyway, I digress. So moving on, we have the main event of the evening. And this is the Elite, Kenny and the Bucks, taking on the AEW champion Chris Jericho and his new tag partners, Santana and Ortiz, formerly LAX from TNA. I don't think they have like a new name yet, but I'm sure they'll come up with something.
It's catchy. Coming.
They'll come up with something catchy for them.
The Bubbly Club.
Ooh, the Bubbly Club. I like that. But so this is for the first main event of the first AEW show. I thought this was really good. Six-man tags are always great. They're always high energy, fast paced. You can get a lot of spots in a short amount of time. Keep everyone super invested in it. Immediately I was bothered because pretty quickly into the match, I'd say 5 minutes into the match, they work their ways to the outside, and Kenny's in the ring, and he's getting ready to do his Terminator spot where he like hops down and then gets ready to do a plancha to the outside. And so as he's getting down and like the audience is ready getting in for it, freaking John Moxley runs into the ring and just like, he's right behind Kenny ready to attack him. And of course the whole crowd's going wild. I was going wild because I was pumped for it.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And so Moxley, like, Kenny like slowly stands up, turns, sees what happened, and then the brawl is on. Moxley just starts beating him down in the ring, works its way to the outside. He throws Kenny over the guardrail. They start fighting through the crowd all the way to this like back area that, yeah, this like weird makeshift lounge that they set up in one of the tunnels.
I don't know if it was totally makeshift. I think that it was like some sort of bar area for people.
The chairs and the glass table were definitely just put there.
Like, okay. Well, I believed it, so it worked.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, so like they were like brawling around, and at this point, like, I kept, because this we couldn't, they were out of our point of view from where we were sitting, but we could see it on the Titantron in front of us.
I just hear Tyler like sitting right behind me or right next to me, but like his face was like right behind my ear, and he's like, "Where did Kenny go? I want where Frank," like he was like, "Are they, come back?" Like, he was just sad that they weren't like right in front of him.
Uh-huh. But so. they like brawl through the crowd, and they like make it to this weird makeshift lounge area where they're brawling for a second, and ultimately
throws him into a door a few times.
Moxley throws Kenny into the door a couple times, and then he sets up to this like glass like coffee table that was like in between these couches and chairs and stuff. And this is a spot, honestly, I've never seen this spot before. he just freaking like Death Rider DDT'd Kenny through the glass table, and then, of course, like it was a gimmick table, like so the glass shattered, and like of course no one was cut or anything like that, but I'd never seen that spot before.
It was crazy.
Through a glass table, it was pretty cool, but
people freaked out.
The crowd went crazy, but so because of that very much just like de facto ripped Kenny off for the rest of the match. He wasn't coming back. And so when that clicked on in my wrestling brain, I was like, oh man, like I only got to see Kenny wrestle for like 5 minutes. Oh God.
But I think kind of the whole stadium had that. There was very much like so much energy had just been expelled watching them go through a glass table, and then all of a sudden there's still a match happening in the ring, and people just did not know where to look or like what to do. Like, they were like, are they coming back? Are we done? What's happening next? It was like we knew something was happening. We didn't know where our energy should go. Hmm. We were all freaking out because we didn't really believe what we had just seen. Yeah. But at the same time, like, there's still something happening. I mean, there's still, like, the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho in the ring right now. Right. Like, it's still a big deal, but it's just very, like, disorienting almost.
Right, right. And I think they definitely capitalized that
yeah.
on that in a weird sense. The chaos of it, where once everyone got back to paying attention to the match, they I don't think they really had much match left. They had, you know, some good moments here and there. The Bucks had like their brief little moments of getting a comeback, and then they yeah. would get beaten down again. Ultimately, they couldn't overcome Jericho and his two partners.
Yeah.
And Jericho.
Somebody threw a hot dog in the ring. It was crazy.
So, yeah, actually, quick little side note. Like, immediately after Kenny gets put through the table and, like, the audience is, like,
doesn't know where to look. In this
confusion, doesn't know where to look.
All of a sudden, Chris Jericho
like, rolls out of the ring and grabs a microphone. And in my mind, I was like, oh, he's just going to, like, you know, get everyone to pay back attention to the ring.
Yeah.
And he certainly did. He, like, reaches over and, like, grabs something from, like, that's in the ring and, like, stands up. And he's just like, I have one question for you. Who threw a hot dog in the ring?
It was a wiener. Who threw this wiener?
Who threw this wiener in the ring? And, like, everyone's like, what? Like, starts laughing.
So that's going to be a new shirt. Watch out for it.
That's going to be a new shirt. Well, first.
That's my wiener.
So the whole arena eventually starts chanting, that's my wiener, to Chris Jericho, who, like, squishes it in his hand and throws it at the crowd or something.
It was just another one of those moments, just like the bubbly moment, where it was a completely natural, yeah. weird thing that happened. And, like, weirdly enough, it just works. Like, you would think that they planned it because it just flowed mm-hmm. really well and people loved it. It ate it up.
Andrew and I have talked about this before. It's in, and this relates to just, like, improv and, like, yeah. working in theater and stuff, is the idea of when something goes wrong on stage, it is almost more detrimental to not acknowledge it.
Yep.
If you don't acknowledge it, like, the audience knows it's there, they saw it happen, and you pretending that it didn't happen
is
almost worse. And so Jericho, being just a master of this, he was like, oh, I need to get the attention back. I'm going to address this wiener that someone threw into the ring, and that's going to work. And by God, it did.
We loved it.
Yeah. And this is why he's the best. This is why Jericho's yeah. the best. But so, ultimately, the Bucks couldn't overcome Jericho and his partners. They teamed up on him and got the win. Which is great, a great little ending. They probably still had about, like, 5 minutes left on TV. And so, being the first ever episode, like, we kind of knew that, like, there was going to be some shenanigans afterwards. Yeah. And there certainly was. Santana and
Ortiz,
thank you. They started to beat down the Bucks. Jericho starts teaming in to beat down the Bucks.
Cody comes running down.
And so Kenny had already been taken out of the match, so yeah. we knew Kenny wouldn't come down for the save. And so Cody makes the run down to the ring. Makes sense. Jericho beat him up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So Cody comes down and starts getting the save, and it's great. It's awesome. And then Sammy Guevara runs down from the opening match with Cody, gets into the ring, and, like, we weren't exactly sure what Sammy was going to do. And so he gets in the ring, and he stares down with Cody, and then just, like, gives him a shug, and then kicks him right in the groin.
Yeah.
Just a dirty heel, that Sammy Guevara. And then Dustin, Cody's brother, rolls out full gear and makeup and everything, runs out for the save again. And he's doing some work on him. He gets, like, a good power slam in. It's great.
And I did not cry, but I almost did.
It was nice.
It brought me back to the Dustin Cody match from Double or Nothing. Right? Double or Nothing?
Yes.
And then I had a little bit of an emotion. Mm-hmm. But if Dustin or Cody had been crying, I would have cried.
Yes.
But I didn't. They did not, so.
Well, they were in beatdown mode still.
Yeah, they were
beaten down. It was great. And then, out of nowhere, and I guess this was, like, the surprise that they might have been building to, and it was a pretty cool surprise, none other than Jack Hager, formerly Jack Swagger in WWE, comes out of nowhere, debuts, I guess, to help Jericho and his newly formed heel faction beat down the Bucks and everything. And immediately, the second, like, when he gets to the ring and everyone realizes it's Jack Swagger, yeah. like, the hype and everyone's yeah. super into it, the entire arena start chanting We the People, which, for people who don't know, when Swagger was in WWE, that was, like, a catchphrase of his. He was, like, this weird kind of, like, right-wing don't tread on me guy, and so his catchphrase was We the People, and literally the entire arena, even though like this is like the heel move, he's helping the heels beat down the Bucks and Cody and Dustin, like the entire arena is just chanting We the People. It was a pretty cool moment.
I think that was a good thing to do for the debut episode, because the whole lead up to it has been about this kind of faction, the Elite, you know, these people mm-hmm. who are building and putting it together. And like, there's not really much for all of them to go, I think, as a group, until they have like a group of bad guys. And so now there's like the Elite bad guys to fight. Battle. Like it sets up a lot of matches going forward.
No, yeah, so I agree. Really cool. Look, immediately the show closed out with Jericho and his makeshift heel faction
yeah.
now together standing tall. And I think actually it's a great faction. Jericho leading it. Yeah. You have Sammy Guevara, who's like your new young blood who can be top brass one day. You have your powerhouse Jack Hager, who is just like way bigger than any of the other guys. Mm-hmm. You have your tag team and Santana and Ortiz, like,
yeah, you've got them all.
You got all your bases covered. It's great. Yeah. But yeah, so that was the closing moments of the first
live show.
Of the first episode of AEW Dynamite, yes. the live show. And then we got three dark matches mm-hmm. after it. I don't want to spend too much time on the dark matches. The first dark match we got was an 8-man tag.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It was Lucha Bros, Angelico and Jack Evans versus Private Party and the Best Friends.
With Orange Cassidy.
I was genuinely upset that Orange Cassidy didn't make it onto TV for the first episode.
But he had some good moments for the dark match.
He had some really great moments in the dark match, though.
When he put his hands in his pockets, people just like they can't deal.
That's his thing, man.
It's the end.
He's the coolest guy.
It was
town.
Only added there was some kid who was front row.
Yes, Orange Cassidy Jr.
Yeah, baby Orange Cassidy, who was like in character the whole time. Props to him.
He had the costume
yeah.
to a T.
And every time
he had the glasses, yeah. he had the same the exact like shade of denim jacket. Like it was perfect.
And the camera would pan to him, and he would just like smoothly look at it. And
he'd give that half-assed thumbs up that just, yeah. Orange Cassidy just, God, I loved it.
It was amazing.
Yes, it was incredible. but so, like, that was a really good match.
Yeah.
After that, there was a women's tag match. Mm-hmm. It was Bea Priestley and Penelope Ford versus Britt Baker and Allie. Also a good match. And
yes.
then the final match of the night was SCU versus the Jurassic Express.
Yes.
Takeaways from that match. People love Luchasaurus.
They love him.
They love Luchasaurus. And I get it. Luchasaurus is awesome. Yeah. He's amazing. People also love SCU.
Yes. It was good. And then SCU closed it with the whole, this is the worst town
yep.
ever.
They did. Yep. They did their spiel at the end. It was great. Sent everyone home feeling good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was it. And then we hopped the Metro home, and now we are two very tired people talking about wrestling in the wee hours of the morning.
So what was your favorite part?
What was my favorite part? My favorite part.
Big or small. It doesn't have to be like a match. Just like
yeah.
one thing about it that you loved.
My favorite part, if not that dress that Brandy was wearing, was...
That's my favorite part.
Was probably Kenny running in to save Rio, just because I didn't realize that Kenny Omega was going to be in front of me immediately. And then suddenly he was in front of me and I was yeah. like... It's surprise Kenny Omega. Like, it was everything yeah. I wanted. But so your favorite part was Brandi Rhodes' dress.
Well, I have a few, but that's definitely one.
That's a highlight.
That
of
was
the evening.
Like that dress was really cool.
It was gorgeous.
I want one.
She looked like an angel.
It was awesome. I really just like I loved like the fans. It just was really, really cool. As a young fan to see so many people, it's really, really just fun, I guess. I love watching people love things, and everybody there really loved it and loved everything about it. I loved Baby Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
I loved, like, every time Tyler would freak out because say some words that I didn't know what they meant. And, like, he'd be like, oh, my God, the switch a cut, man. I don't really know what it was, but he would just say it, and I wouldn't know, and it was exciting.
Yeah.
The merch was kind of cool. There was some things I saw. I didn't know how to buy them. There was like an AEW lunchbox that I thought was fun.
So I think that afterwards, I think that was like a
VIP thing?
I think it was swag that they gave to VIPs. Because when we were on the Metro riding home, there were two guys in front of us who had the VIP badges.
Okay.
And they each had a lunchbox.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I think that was like specific VIP swag. But they had some fun merch.
Yeah.
They didn't have any... like event specific merch that I was really upset about. Like they didn't have any, like, you know,
or at least none that we could find. If it was there, it was like,
well,
gone immediately.
Yeah. The only event specific one was the SCU shirt.
Yeah.
Cause it had like the Capitol building on it. It was like, this is the worst town I've ever been in. But I wanted like a more event specific one. Just, you know, like first episode, I was there, something cheesy like that. I probably would have bought that shirt, but, other than that, it was really fun. I think for the first ever episode of AEW Dynamite, when we're looking back on this in like 20 years, did this live up to the hype, I guess, that people had hyped up for it? Was it a good start to this potential, you know, new company? Like,
I think it was.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I mean, once again, disclaimer, I am a new fan who has not watched some of the greatest big moments of wrestling that I hear people talk about. But today,
that's okay.
Yeah, today was really, really exciting for me. And I definitely built it up in my head.
Yeah.
But it was like, it felt like it captured the whole point of AEW, which is to give something that the fans want and can get excited about, and that can like really like diversify the way that we watch wrestling now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it did. They did it. I mean, they did what they set out to do. It was a really big night, and people were really into it.
I agree. And I think the interesting part about this, specifically with AEW, is for new wrestling fans, one of the hardest things about getting into wrestling is that wrestling never stops.
Yeah.
There's so much history to wrestling, and there's always going to be something you missed and something that like other people, other fans know about and you never saw, and like you feel out of the loop. This is such an interesting time for wrestling fans, specifically for AEW, in that this is going to be a brand new company, and getting in right now means you're at the beginning. You're gonna see every moment, and that's not something, at least in my experience, I've had in watching wrestling.
And to be honest, there's still a lot of lore that goes into this beginning.
There's a lot of like background lore, and that's and again, that goes back into wrestling. Like there's no way for you to ever watch all the wrestling. It's just not possible. But this is, I think, this is the best time to be a new fan. It's the best time to be an old fan. It's just great.
Yeah.
Wrestling's awesome.
Yep.
I love wrestling.
It was good.
I think that's the best ending. I don't have a better way to wrap this up besides wrestling is awesome, man. It's great.
I had fun. I'm glad we got to go.
Awesome. This is gonna wrap up our reactions for the first AEW Dynamite. This one on a little longer than I thought, but we had a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of feelings about things. Stay tuned for some next episodes. I don't know the links and credits right off my head, but don't worry. Andrew and I will be back soon with a standard episode. I think we'll have a new topic coming up for you, and we actually have something special planned for Halloween as well. We leave you with the immortal words of William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on. Do you want to do the dig it?
No.
Oh, come on, just do it. It's like, dig it.
Dig it.
Dig it.
Dig it. Nice.